Ronald Acuña, the best player in the major leagues, after returning May 23rd, he made his debut. Braves win last night, and we'll talk more about this as we continue to move along. Schwelly was great. Tonight it's Strider. Mike said it. We need a good start from Strider, so we're going to talk more about that. You, sir, said you have a question for me.
Yeah, man, and it comes from the old ball coach,
All right.
Steve Spurrier.
Okay.
And I saw this today from our buddy Brent McMurphy, and I said, I got to ask Carl this question, because it's a question that I did ask you from time to time, but a little bit more veritas or gravitas when it comes from our old ball coach. I'm always truthful, but gravitas from Steve Spurrier. Spurrier to Pat Dooley about Arch Manning. Quote, most people picking Texas to win the SEC.
Yes, sir.
They got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman, too.
Yes, sir.
My question is, if he's that good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all the time?
Okay, all right.
And he was a seventh round pick.
All right.
Click, clack.
You know what? Spurrier's always trying to start a dust up.
But this is something that, you know, now I know in that one Ohio State game, I think Arch got concussed. I think they kind of slow rolled that. But why didn't we see Arch Manning with the season on the line when Quinn Ewers, the ceiling seemed like even diehard Longhorn fans knew where it was with Quinn Ewers?
So you really want to know?
Let me know.
You really want to know?
Yes.
You want to know the truth?
No, I want you to lie to me.
I will tell you.
What did Raggedy Ann say to Pinocchio when she never, that's too dirty a joke. You can't do that.
I will tell you what really happened if you really want to know. You really want to know?
Yes.
Quinn Ewers is making a lot of money, Mike. That's what would happen. Okay? And they were like, Arch, chill, we got you for the next 3 years. It's going to be fine. He's in no rush.
So the oil men are running the program, and Sarkisian didn't have the backbone.
It's the same reason Carson Beck was starting at Georgia.
Right.
Let's be honest.
But it sure seems to me like the buck stops at May, Kirby.
Yeah,
you
right.
You can cash all them checks.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Then why didn't he pull? If he has so much confidence in this kid right now, why didn't he pull Carson Beck last year when Beck was making all that dough?
What's that?
Yeah, exactly, Kirby. Same thing happens.
At the time, I still thought he was elite.
Yeah, so did we.
Yeah.
That's honestly what happened. They made a commitment financially to him.
That's a tail. Well,
I'm
guess what?
I'm just telling you.
But that's the tail wagging the dog. And with Arch Manning.
Guess what, Mike? That's going on everywhere.
But this is where that crossover between competition and commerce really blurs the lines and maybe screws up the product.
I'm telling you. Now, Arch is going to have plenty of time to prove himself. Spurrier.
2 years.
Stop.
2 years tops.
Stop.
I mean, he...
If they win the chip this year, okay, two. If they don't, he'll be there three. He's in no rush.
Right. I'm just telling you.
They're loaded, Mike. He's in no rush to get to the NFL. He's going to live the life. BMOC.
The oil man wanted Quinn. They said Quinn to stay, but man, I mean, then them oil man, they got two. I don't know what they're thinking. Because everybody and their uncle couldn't wait to see Arch Manning. Why double down on Quinn Ewers?
No, I know.
Elite.
Yes, Kirby, thank you. 404-726-0929. You guys can tell us. But look, that's going on
right all
over the country. This Mike's right. This is the thin line between, all right, and you can tell me all you want. Like, all right, we're going to bench him. For the season, good luck with that. When you have these financial commitments, just like the NFL, Kirk Cousins, it's hard to bench guys when you've invested that kind of money. And now, Mike, we're about to get into this cap era where a certain amount of money is allocated for these quarterbacks. And you're going to tell me that these coaches are going to be like, yeah, we're going to sit him down for the next 8 games. It's just not happening. So, Spurrier, love you, but you came up in a different time.
Right. Now, in the case of Steve Spurrier, how would he survive? I don't see. That's the thing. Guys with that kind of, you know, Steve was an amazing, the old ball coach. Can you imagine him trying to jerk the quarterbacks like he used to the 2-quarterback rotation system?
It wouldn't work.
Never in a million years. Guys would be transferring, like dropping like flies.
Wouldn't work.
Between the portal and NIL, you're right.
He wouldn't be keeping any of those guys. And he had some really good quarterbacks, obviously, at Florida and even South Carolina. All right. Interesting stuff there, man. We're going to talk more about our Braves, but right now we got to talk some dogs. Dog fans, don't bring us into this. I'm just
no,
saying.
But I mean, if you got a money man, you know, and every program's got some that are more, you know, they have more juice in the room than other guys, and that's their pet project.
Well, elite,
yes, Kirby, I know, but let me ask you this: when Carson went through that stretch last year where he threw like 5 interceptions in 6 weeks or whatever, 5 in 4 weeks, you guys
elite.
Remember,
right?
Why did they pull him if this kid that is supposed to start this year was so special?
Because that's Kirby. Kirby always, you know, his default setting is the guy who's got the one more minute of experience than the other guy. And coming from a full year last year.
Or was it the Lambo?
Or was it the Lambo and the deal? I mean, like, I'm with you. You know where I stand on this one.
I'm just asking. Not, like, seriously, we don't know, but it's a valid question. When he struggled, you're right. Kirby has the tendency to
stick with
these guys.
I mean, he had a horrible game against the Gators in the cocktail party.
He was terrible, Mike.
I mean, he was people. You know, we always seem to focus, at least I do, on his, like, just turnover palooza against Alabama. He turned it over every damn other possession against Texas. And luckily, the defense got the ball right back because Texas and Quinn Ewers couldn't do anything with it. And then, you know, the Florida game, you know, again, no touchdowns, three interceptions, and you beat Texas 30-15.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
That would have been the Chargers-Kirk Cousins game for me if
Thank
I was
you.
Kirby Smart.
That's the comparison. And by the way, all I'm saying is if Gunnar Stockton has this moxie that everybody loves, why didn't you install him then?
Right. The team loves him. We heard that as soon as he stepped in.
Yes.
Team loves him.
So
all right.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, speaking of Georgia, longest home winning streak in the country. Our buddy Connor Riley put this out and says 31 games. The next closest team is Washington with 20. Here's the interesting thing. EA Sports, it's in the game. College Football 26 ranked the toughest places to play in college football. Mike, Georgia's not number one. As a matter of fact, Penn State is number two. Ohio State is number three. Georgia is number four. LSU is number one. Toughest place to play.
I would say, you know, I've always been of the opinion, but it's been so hard to gauge because Auburn's been so mediocre lately. And boy, the way, I don't know what that – we talked about the hot seat for Hugh Freeze. More on the hot seat coming up. But I always thought Jordan Hare was the most intense atmosphere as far as the noise sustaining at Auburn. But then LSU, I've been there for – I've been to the Death Valley at night. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing.
I mean, I will die on that hill. There is nothing like it. Virginia Tech has really ramped things up in the heyday of Beamer ball back in the day. But that's long gone, too. That team's very mediocre.
Yeah, I agree. I just
But in the SEC, LSU.
And I don't disagree with this, by the way. I mean, look, South Carolina, you said it. There are some places at night
and
that can get crazy.
Yeah, the A&M game, I mean, you could feel it pulsing through the television last year.
It was bananas. The crazy thing is, you talk about Penn State, and again, they're talking about tough places to play. They lost a home game last year. I think they lost to the Buckeyes. Ohio State lost a defeat at home against rival Michigan. So, you know, we're not saying they can't be beat, but we're just talking about in general. And here's what we're getting to. Georgia's home field advantage 2025. Think about the teams that we're playing, right? Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas all come to Sanford Stadium this year. And remember, speaking of Georgia fans, Kirby has called Georgia fans out.
Right.
He has said, I need you.
To sustain it for four quarters.
Correct.
Right.
He has put it out there like, we need you, the kids. And then, Mike, Georgia fans go crazy. And you know, the Sanford Stadium can be a place that rocks. But is it that all the time? But those games, you know, you got home games against Marshall, Austin Peay, Kentucky, and Charlotte. The Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas games are the games where everybody's like, okay, we got to show up and we got to do something. I just find it interesting that EA Sports
is in the game.
Is putting this out there as part of their college football video game where you go into these environments and they're saying, hey, this team is going to be hard to beat in this environment, and Georgia's one of them, obviously.
Look, I've had the misfortune of being at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium a few times for Florida State games
okay.
in the Swamp. And when the Swamp is cooking, you know, in its prime, both with Urban Meyer and back in the day with Spurrier, I would put the Swamp up there with anything.
It's good.
I mean, when it's rolling.
It's good.
You know, and I've experienced it. And I was lucky enough my first year here in Atlanta, I got a chance to spend a lot of time up in Knoxville. The girl I was dating went to Tennessee. And so I was up there for the Clint Sterner fumble against Arkansas.
Okay.
The Florida field goal that was missed. They took the goalpost down. Some goalposts went down to the river. The other went down to Cumberland. And that's, you know, I've seen Nealon be electric. But, you know, and Georgia, I've seen Georgia do it, but that's why I don't want to get Georgia fans mad at me, but I just don't think they sustain that energy the way that LSU does.
Well, the head coach.
Or like Williams Price. For instance, Williams Price in South Carolina, they keep that juice rolling.
They do. I'm just telling you, when Kirby says, we need our fans, that should never be said. You've got one of the best football programs, if not the best in the country. The idea that I need you guys to do what you do. It just should never be said. So it's not a knock. We're not saying anything that Kirby hasn't said. By the way, Alabama's five, if you're wondering. I know Alabama fans, you think I hate you. Clemson, six.
I would put a Clemson up there, too.
I would, too.
I've had many, many good and bad experiences in the other Death Valley.
Mike, here's the thing. I think we've got a little SEC bias because I had to tell you. I mean, Penn State, the whiteout is great. Ohio State, so you got 120,000 people in there. I don't know if you're telling me that's a tougher place to play than a Clemson or, to your point, a Florida. Right. Oklahoma's on the list. Oregon is on here, and Michigan. That's the top 10, but Georgia is 4.
Right. And I've been to the Big House. And when I was at Michigan, the average age was 64 to dead.
Mike, they don't.
No, I don't. I did not feel it. You know, maybe it's,
you know what
better.
It is up
yeah.
there?
Yeah. It's old money. It's old money, man.
I'm telling you. Yeah. They don't get excited. There's nobody screaming and hollering and, you know.
Right. No, man. Leroy Butler.
Go Blue!
We put FSU put 51 on him in the Big House. So when does this Big Ten football start? Florida State, by the way, would be on that list back in the day, you know, and hopefully they get back. You know, Florida State cut like 10,000 seats from Doak, which I hate.
No, and it'll probably be louder.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
unless the team sucks.
Well, you know, now we're going to have NFL style home section, of which I bought a ticket. Anyway,
it'll be louder. When they do that, it's better.
I don't know, man. 15,000 less seats. I don't know how that gets
louder.
More
intimate.
Yeah,
you're closer to the field.
I don't know.
Think about all the benefits.
The game. I went back and looked it up. The game where Kirby got upset, and Johnny and I were sitting. We were sitting behind the Georgia bench. It was a mistake game.
Correct.
And that was a game where there was some swaths of boredom when Miss State was going down the field, and Georgia fans got disinterested.
Yes. Here's the deal, and I will say this: part of the allure of what Spurrier created at Florida was, Mike, they were going to put their foot on your neck and score until they got tired, and fans dug it. Florida fans were like, hell yeah, it's 60-3 and we're still scoring.
Right, right.
Kirby won't do that. And the point is, that kind of domination where Spurrier didn't give a damn who he offended or the other coach on the other sideline, he was going to be disliked. Fans like that. Kirby could be up 40-3 and we're seeing the third teamers and he's like, run the ball, take a knee, run the ball, kick it back to him. That, I'm not saying that, but that whole attitude of, yes, we're better than you and we're going to win, Spurrier was like, screw you guys, we're crushing you.
I do think sometimes, and again, there's Georgia fans that are just as wild as LSU, because I've sat with them, and like Captain Gary, I freaking hate orange! He just screams at the whole game. He just screams at the whole game. They're playing, I freaking hate orange! Captain Gary, please, control yourself. But there are Georgia fans that do get hot, and they get fired up. But like the 10-3 first quarter against Miss State, it was a bit listless, if I'm honest, at Sanford Stadium that day.
Yes, it was. By the way, Auburn on here at 7. Again, this is not us. This is EA Sports.
It's in the game.
Correct. The college football game. They're talking about tough environments, and this is played into the game. But they've got Auburn on here at 17. I'm with Mike. Auburn's top 5. If you've never been on an Auburn game and a home game, it's top 5.
And I don't know, the way it's constructed, I don't know how, because it's not like it's all boxed in the end zones, but the sound reverberates off the glass. I don't know. Jordan Hare just always seems loud to me. Eric Bowen hits us up on Twitter. He goes, I'm a dog fan. By and large, the difficulty in winning in Sanford comes from the talent on the field, way more than the energy in the stands. Sometimes fans generate energy. Players do it more. But Kirby's saying, you know, to be considered elite and to have that killer atmosphere.
Elite.
You've got to be. I mean, I know what you're saying, Eric, but
he saying they don't give him anything to cheer about?
That's ridiculous.
Come on,
yeah, you got
to
get.
What do you want him to do? The funky chicken?
I mean, you got one of the best home field advantages. You don't lose at home. You're back to back natties, 2 years removed. But see, this, not picking out Eric and don't kill him on Twitter, but this is some Georgia fans.
That's the attitude.
You know,
that's the attitude.
You know,
that's terrible.
Armstead, don't yell and cheer. You may perspire.
How are the kids, by the way?
Well, they're fine. I appreciate you asking, Carl.
Well, I'm always concerned about your children.
Lawton is doing fine for himself. He is working for a law firm in New York City.
Oh, wow, the big city.
Yes, he is. I believe it's Peabody, and Marsh. He was referred to after his internship at King & Spalding.
I bet he was. You know, I'm just so good to hear the kids are doing well. I remember when you used to take the little ones to the suite. And how you treated them when they'd go to these games.
Yes, of course. Now I've got two young ones since I had to get rid of my first wife. Obviously, she was depreciated in value. I had to get a younger model.
I understand. So you have two new ones.
Yes, she did get the house in Sea Island, but now I've got a place in Oconee.
Okay. Well, it's nice out there. Trust me. Very good.
That's for those. That's an old Georgia fan for guys that are new to this show. Day-Day, we'll explain this later.
Yes, that is Armstead.
Go Dogs. My lovely wife, my former ex-wife, Kendall.
Yes.
My new wife is Jackson, by the way.
Jackson.
22. She was an au pair.
Oh, I bet she was.
Our neighbors.
Oh, nice.
Used to peer through the telescope into various states of undress of their residence on Sea Island.
Oh,
I say.
All right, we're coming back. Dog fans, man. I mean, seriously. Day-Day, if somebody calls, you put them through.
Day-Day, you can't expect me to cheer for 60 minutes after drinking lots of brown liquor at our tailgate.
Too much of an expectation. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Pell.
Well, apparently, some of you, we've ruffled your feathers.
I don't know how. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about EA Sports, the video game, and how they listed the top toughest places to play in college football, right? And Georgia came in at number four, which got Mike and I talking about, you know, Kirby even calling out the home fans saying, I need you. Mike mentioned the Miss State game. Mike, apparently, Kenneth from Buford wants to join in on this conversation. So let's grab him here. Kenneth, thanks for dialing us up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, what are you thinking?
What's going on, fellas? Look here, man. I'm a season ticket holder for over the past 20-plus years. We are an intimidating place, okay? Don't get me wrong. And then, like, you get these noon games like we get. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get fired up for a noon game.
Right.
Plus, that sun on that stadium don't help at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But this is my thing. So you say we're not intimidating. So what do we have to do, throw trash on the field? Would that make us intimidating? And I know FSU hasn't been intimidating for 20-plus years.
Well, actually,
we are an intimidating stadium.
More like 10,
so
but yeah.
I just hate when y'all disrespect Georgia like that, man.
Wait, hold on. Slow down. The coach said you guys weren't bringing the heat. He said it after the Auburn game.
Oh, baby.
Oh, you better wear a white dry fit. Wear a white dry fit. It's hot out there. Ooh, it's hot. Ooh. Hey, man, the coach, don't get it twisted, Holmes. Don't kill the messenger. Kirby was disappointed after Georgia's win over Auburn and then further comments subsequently after the Miss State game. That's what we're – it's the coach said it.
Kenneth, don't be mad at us. This is why I said – Georgia wasn't number one. We talked about it. And again, it's the video game. But the perception is there. This is why this is translating.
Hey, and
the
I'm
perception
with,
is there.
And I'm with the man. Noon games suck. One of my buddies' mom's got a t-shirt that says noon games. Nobody likes that unless you're Fox. And that they've bankrolled that into ratings. But that's a feeble excuse. If it's a big game with a ranked opponent, you got to get up for it.
Yeah. And by the way, noon games suck even more when your program's not winning. Like, really? Like, I think that's a lame excuse. I do. Kenneth, I hear you. The heat and the sun and where I'm sitting in the stadium. Here's what you brought up, throwing trash on the field. No, that's not the answer. Constant participation is what we're talking about.
Right. That's why does that argument have to go to that? It has nothing to do with what we're – come on. You're in your feels, my brother. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, heat, it's warm in the South in the spring. It's warm in the South in the fall.
Early fall.
September, October. I mean, we all deal with that. Come on. That's feeble.
But I also think, Mike, if Georgia wasn't winning at the clip in which they're winning, and this is the right. Alabama thing. This is Nick Saban. We won 12 games, then won a national championship. We had a bad year. Like, that's the level in which Georgia fans expect now, and that's great. But the constant participation at a night game at LSU – you feel like you've been in a concert. There is a difference. This is what we're talking about. Mike mentions Auburn. You go to an Auburn game, it's Auburn, it's the Iron Bowl. You feel like you're at a concert. You leave the stadium and you're like, what'd you just say? And your friend's right here in your face. The constant participation. That's all. So, look, I'm not saying Georgia's a bad fan base. That's silly. It's a great fan base.
You got 32 consecutive wins at Sanford Stadium. I mean, this isn't like the old days when Mark Richt would have to do a blackout to get people fired up and get the student body all ramped up and all that. The effort on the field speaks for itself. And I get it. Yeah, I mean, I understand part of it. Noon games do stink. But come on, talk about the heat in the South.
Who's next?
Then move to Michigan, dude.
Can we get another phone call in here? 404-726-0929.
And by the way.
Georgia fans.
Don't kill the messenger. This was the Auburn game last year. It was October 7th. Kirby Smart talking to Shock on their radio network.
Mm.
To be honest, I'm probably disappointed in our fans for the first time.
He said it.
He goes, I thought there was a lack of really affecting the game crowd noise, passion, energy.
Oh, participation.
So that's his words, man. That's what we're talking about. So you would think that, you know, you've got a great crowd because you've created this home field advantage with the win streak. Kirby went on to say on his radio show, that was the following Monday, I think what I said, I stand by. What I said and feel it could have been better. But my job as a coach football team, going to do the best I can in my power. So we walked it back a little bit. Because he probably felt some heat to Georgia fans like our boy there. Don't tell me I'm a bad fan. It's hot. Don't tell me I'm a bad fan. It's warm out.
They need to sell alcohol all around the stadium. I think they just sell it up in the suites. Is that right? Is that right now?
Yeah, and hey, well, no, it's in the general season, sitting now, you can go up to the, you have to go up top to get it.
Okay.
Now you see a guy going, get your beer here, beer.
Okay.
You're not like that.
Because it didn't used to be that way.
No.
Yeah. Which sucked.
It was only in the suite league.
Thank you.
Where we drink
Armstead.
Gimlets.
gin
and tonics.
That's right. Ryan, you're up next, Ryan. Hey, man, where you at on this, Ryan, with Georgia fans and the fandom there?
So having been to a number of games across the country, LSU is clearly number one, and it's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia's a much tougher place to play than Notre Dame was that night when we were there.
Right.
But Neyland and LSU and some of those bigger schools, granted the stadium's a little bit bigger, but I feel like they bring it. And I've also, you know, dropped out from the heat and been next to the freshmen that – didn't plan accordingly for that noon game and had to retreat to the shade. So right. I feel both sides. But that guy, Mike, he might be looking for you in your Corvette. Take it. Keep your head on a swivel.
I'll be watching. Again, it'll be too hot for him to chase me out. It was 98 degrees today on the connector.
He don't go outside unless it's 70.
And I had the top down. but no, I mean, that was the one specific game. And as we said, it's...
Did it rain that game? Wasn't there a game where it rained and everybody stayed because they felt guilty?
The Miss State game was tough because obviously they were big. Another part of it is all the Georgia frat boys, of which if I went to school in Georgia, I would be one too. So I'm not pointing fingers, but a lot of guys.
You'd be a frat boy?
Well, I mean, the Pikes at FSU were kind of jerks, and my father was a Pike, but I didn't vibe at Tallahassee with that.
All right.
And then by the time I was, you know, moving on in my collegiate career,
sure.
You know, at NYU, the Greek thing was frowned upon. No one did it. You know,
no,
and then
after that, it depends on where you're at in the
country.
And
then by the time I was at Virginia Tech, I was 21. I was working radio. I was going to be, you know, I was going to pledge for, you know, not do that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, for
you
some guys.
You could have been a post-grad pledge.
That's creepy. Then you're that guy. That's like.
You could have pledged later.
Yeah. And you're that. You're like the weird old guy. It's certainly, if you are a guy who's got a vested interest in the game, a lot of folks are gambling, you're upset Georgia's not covering, a little disinterested because you thought you're going to run through Miss State like poop through a goose.
Yeah. Somebody help me. There was a game, though, Mike, and I don't know if it was that one, where it rained and they were making comments about how the fans stuck around. And I don't know if it was that game, but it was around that time.
Right.
Michael and McDonough, you're up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Interesting thoughts from Georgia fans here. Michael, hey, man.
Hey, I'm a Georgia season ticket holder. We're very overrated in our stadium. I think it's because the players on the field, like I heard earlier. I think the most decorated stadium that's very underrated is Missouri.
Really?
And if you've ever been to Missouri, you will understand.
Well, it's intimate. It's a smaller stadium.
I think the most – I'm sorry?
It's an intimate stadium. It's a smaller stadium. Yes.
Yeah, it's a smaller stadium, but – the environment and enthusiasm from them is just unbelievable. But to top everything off, I think it's Neyland Stadium at Tennessee.
Okay.
Just the environment, the makeup of the stadium, the length of it, the stadium crowd. Mm. I don't think there's nothing like playing in Tennessee and Knoxville.
Michael, thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate it.
Like I said, guys, Georgia has created this amazing home field advantage. We just were on the subject. If you're just coming into the show and you're, what are Duke's Bell saying? Is that one caller was losing his ish? It's from the EA Sports rankings as far as the most intimidating home field, because that's all part of being in the game.
In the game.
And they had LSU up there, obviously, and anyone who's been there, I think Georgia fans would agree to that. It's just a different, those guys, I mean, hell, T-Bob Hebert, our good friend Bobby Hebert's son, who does radio in Baton Rouge, they were out there. I mean, those guys were tore up at Omaha for the College World Series. They stood and cheered the entire freaking game. They stood on their feet for a baseball game, you know, out there and basically took over that town. Because, I know Georgia could do the same thing if they get there and hopefully will. But we're just talking about the nuances, the different levels. And yeah, man, I mean, I've always felt Auburn has always been a really cool, loud vibe.
It is.
You know, but can they sustain that when the program's not on an elite level?
Dominator said that Kirby said the crowd lacked energy after the Auburn game. Mike, you may have mentioned this, but that was last year.
Yeah, that was October 7th last year.
This wasn't 5 years ago.
Right.
That's the point. Like, this wasn't when Kirby took over.
Right.
Last year?
That's a year removed from a national championship.
Come on. Shouldn't that happen? Shouldn't be that way. Head coach shouldn't be saying these things. That's all.
I appreciate you guys trying to fire up our crowd. I need Georgia to be elite. And hey, hydrate, son. Too hot.
Yeah.
That's below the bar.
You know what's going to happen, right?
Not up to our standard.
First home game. Austin Peay, the announcer, is going to be like, man, this crowd is fired up for Austin Peay. We've never seen the dog fans like this before.
I don't know, man. I've lived in the South. I mean, I get it. Yes. I mean, noon games with the sun in your face, it's hot. It's like going to a Braves game. If you're on the third base side on a Sunday, it's hot. You know, plan freaking accordingly. Don't wear a dark colored jersey. Get a white polo with a red G on it, Carl. Yeah, yeah. Advice for our listeners.
Well, Mike, here's the deal, though, for me. And this goes back again to my dad, man. Being a dog fan, growing up in this state, it's kind of always been this way. Hate to be the bearer of bad news. And that was prior to winning chips.
I was telling Danny, that's how we created the Armstead character. Before Kirby got the natties, before things got rolling, when Georgia fans would make excuses, well, we can't move on from Mark Richt. You know, this is the best it's ever been. That's how we created the Armstead character, of that sort of aloof Georgia fans, like, why don't we throw the bomb?
By the way,
are you going to stay with us at Sea Island for the cocktail party? That's where the whole thing started. The fan that wasn't that passionate.
That's
right. Just happened to be there.
And that's why it resonated.
Right.
Because a lot of dog fans, I know that dude. Yeah. One other thing, and then we've got to get to some Kai talk. Thank you guys for participating, man. And by the way, Georgia does have a great atmosphere. But when you start ranking these stadiums, you got to kind of put them in their right order. And I don't have any problem with Georgia being a top five. It's not number one. Georgia Tech game last year, an incredible game.
Right.
Fans left with about 5 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. Georgia fans. That game was between the hedges. You guys remember how that game ended? Overtime, back and forth. Tech could have easily won that game. Georgia wins. Kirby hugs Brent Key after the game, tells him what a hell of a coach he is.
Right.
5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Georgia fans were leaving. We're not making this up.
So that's where it's at. You know, I know that some Georgia fans are screaming at the radio like that guy earlier.
Yeah, no doubt.
But that's, look, it's thick or thin. And some fans, when you're, and now it should be easy to sit through 60 minutes of football because you got one of the best programs in the country. So bring the heat. In the heat.
Mike, bring the heat. What do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, Aaron Rodgers says, I am married. It's none of your damn business.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I told that to Pat McAfee.
Who is she?
Some of that. Well, let's keep it private. We'll get into some of that. Also coming up, proof that umpires are just plain awful, and it's time to bring in the robots. I'll bring the math next. Hey, man, we got to, Scar and I were just talking real quick, taking behind the curtain on Dukes and Bell. And by the way, tomorrow, State Farm Arena, Pastor Troy going to swing by the show on the 5 o'clock hour.
What?
That's a Big Ten foe. And again, we'll have a lot of fun. We'll try to handicap what the Hawks' plan is going to be. And are we going to hold on to those picks? Are we going to? That's the thing with the NBA. You get these picks, and then the same night on draft night, wait a minute. No sooner has some dude put on the hat, I've been told you've been traded to Sacramento.
It's
just so the antithesis of the NFL. But just real quick, take it behind the curtain. We were just laughing about how fired up. Don't tell me we're bad fans. Nobody ever wants to hear they're bad fans. Because it strikes at your heart because it's your passion. And there's a lot of you guys. When we say this, and when EA Sports races, we're not talking about you. It's the other guy in the stand.
It's the other guy.
It's that guy, not you.
Yeah.
We know you're fired up.
I laugh because a buddy of mine hit me
just
up.
Just maybe don't do 17 whiskey sours before you head over to Sanford Stadium for a 3:30 kick. So you can maintain some energy.
Buddy of mine just hit me up, though. He's like, screw you and Bill. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. He's so fired up. I'm like, man, calm down.
Hey, man. And we've got... We're going to have some special events, by the way, planned for some of the bigger games in Athens. So stay tuned, by the way.
Yes.
For Dukes and Bell.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And that's all I'm allowed to say about
that. That's correct. And we will be in the sun with you. All right. How's that?
That's right. Well, actually, no. Captain Gary's on now. I think it's 120. I'm on.
He's in the shade.
It's 102. It's right behind the 30-yard line. It's very comfortable.
That's a good seat.
In the shade. I digress. Hey, man. Real quick, I said to Carl when we got in here today, too, want to give a shout out. There's nothing I appreciate more than people who have really tough jobs, sometimes, boring. If I'm honest with you, for most of us, sometimes it could be like just watching the clock, but they make the most of it and they're effective and they take pride in their jobs. Give a shout out to the DMV in Coweta, down in Noonan, right on the border with Sharpsburg. I was in and out to renew my license today in 5 minutes.
Oh, I don't believe you.
Less than 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
I was on the line, the dude at front, I go, hey, man. He goes, how can I help you? And I go, on a Tuesday. And it got me the number. I waited literally for like two people ahead of me, in and out. And got my license renewed and good to go.
Oh, that's really good.
How about them apples?
No, that's fast. I mean, that's a trip most people dread.
Right.
Right.
So I know, I mean, and no, I just don't mean to bag out on the Fulton County people, but it was a different experience when I had to run down the street, down a private street, when I lived in the city. A little bit different out there in the country. Hey, man, Aaron Rodgers goes on the Pat McAfee show, and a lot of questions. And one of the questions that Pat got into with him, and I do appreciate Pat asking the questions, Aaron Rodgers goes on this rant about his private life. And asked about, you know, torn to his critics about, you know, are you married? He's wearing a wedding band, was asked a question by a reporter when he had a media segment at the mandatory mini camp for the Steelers. And they asked him about what's that black ring on your finger and said that there was and he was married. Well, he goes, he calls it the entitlement of information regarding his personal life. He's, you know, obviously a very private person.
Okay.
He said his personal life, it's blanking ridiculous as his mysterious wife remains out of the spotlight. He revealed in early June that he's a married man.
Who is she?
He explained that the person he's married with will remain private, even as the outside noise surrounding the union intensifies, and everybody from the LA Times to the New York Post to the English tabloids like the Daily Mail trying to figure out who this woman is.
Okay, so what is he going to do? Keep her in the house forever?
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. I mean, go in there.
Yes, and by the way, speaking of being private, did you have to tell us about the dark room? No.
You shared that with us.
You could have just went to the dark room, handled your business.
The ayahuasca.
And did whatever it was you did.
Share that with us.
But you told us about it.
Right.
Now you're trying to hide Missy behind some cloud of whatever this is. I mean, who is this woman?
Who
is she?
More from Aaron Rodgers. Quote, my private life is my private life. It's going to stay that way. And I would somebody who wants to be private. And if and when she wants to be out there as a picture, she'll choose that.
Okay.
So it's his private.
No, seriously. Look,
that is his prerogative.
I respect.
But Carl just laid it out. If every other part of your life is an open book and you want to share your wackadoodle conspiracy theories because you are a public figure and people buy into it.
You did the Netflix documentary. We didn't ask for that.
You did and you edited the crap out of that. I'd love to know what stuff didn't make it and what was on the cutting room floor. Because that thing was a giant on Aaron Rodgers. It was like, wow. I was like, this guy's the perfect human being.
Yeah.
There is no fallibilities on Aaron Rodgers according to that thing. He really is. He says, the entitlement to information about my private life, it's blanking ridiculous and embarrassing.
All right. Oh!
Well, again, when you are in the public,
who is she?
Fair or unfair, there is a piece of you is out there for public consumption. You know, that's the life you chose,
okay,
man.
Okay, time out. Is she real?
What did you say? It's Manti Te'o part two?
Come on.
Catfish situation?
All this, nothing? We've not seen a photo? Nothing? Aaron's been to the beach. I mean, we've gotten all this weird stuff from Aaron over the years, right? When he's out and about on the town. Remember when he went to New York and he was at Knicks games and he was doing the hockey and he was at Broadway? Right. What is he now? A nomad? He's not going to show up anywhere?
Well, apparently, I guess maybe she'll be in a cave. Perhaps she's going to be at Machu Picchu. maybe she's in Sedona with the crystals. Don't know, but if and when. I mean, you know what? If somebody wants to make some money on this, you go do like that stupid Harry and Meghan Markle interview.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
Go get Aaron Rodgers and we got the big introduction for who this lady friend is. Hey, the Mets have got a new addition. I don't think we've seen him yet. His name is Dickie Lovelady.
Come on, this is his real name?
Hey, have you seen this, Day-Day? The Mets announced they signed pitcher Richard Lovelady. This was back on Monday. Lovelady says he prefers to be called by his nickname, Dickie. Needless to say, media, social media, is going bananas, and the Mets are wondering, what does Dickie do? We're going to find out.
What's Dickie do?
Yeah, so apparently, I guess he's going to be coming out of the pen, and it's Dickie Lovelady from here on in. Mets beat writer for the Post, Anthony DeComo, posted on X on Monday. 29, that was his father's name, Richard, but apparently Dickie. It's Dickie Lovelady.
What's Dickie do?
We don't know. I guess he's going to be out of the pen.
Okay.
Yeah. So it goes, guy says, one fan on social media said, Dickie Lovelady sounds like something right out of a Seinfeld episode.
It really does.
Yeah, man. So anyway, you got a Dickie Lovelady on the Mets, and we'll see. By the way, I saw they sent Ronald's brother down.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. You want to roll the flag? You want to run that up the flagpole? Going to trade for Acuña's brother?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I know. He just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I'm
good. Not that cool. Speaking of Ronald, Carl was talking about, you know, him doing his Ronald Acuña stuff, and that was, you know, getting the crowd, you know, screaming and yelling at him, and he feeds off that energy, and I love it. You know, Tatis and Soto, guys like that do it. We talked about it earlier today with Tony Gwynn Jr. Really cool picture. There was a little kid that he took a picture with, another kid named Brett Farmer, who posted the photo. Ronald literally, just before he's about to take the first pitch, signing autographs through the net right there at the on-deck circle at Citi Field.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, like, seriously, I'm trying to focus. I want to get a look at this picture. What? Yeah, come here. I'll sign it.
How cool is that?
Isn't awesome. Yeah, man, that's awesome.
I like it. Hey, man, there's a new website that I found, actually a Twitter follow, and it's called Umpire Auditor. And it's basically they do a rundown of the umps and who's the worst and the worst blown calls, and they give you a montage, and some of these calls will leave you going, what in holy hell?
These are real calls?
Real calls. According to the Umpire Auditor, Major League umpires missed 1,040 calls during the week of June 16th,
wow.
And they just showed you 10 of the worst called strikeouts, which are mind-blowing. So, I mean, I know that there's been pushback. We just saw a Major League umpire, as it Alex Campos, who just ruined the, at least for the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina,
he did.
Their manager's World Series appearance, because they ran him in the final game against LSU, and that guy got run by Major League Baseball. What's the big bugaboo? When you're behind home plate, you're just going to have an earpiece in your ear. You're still going to get paid your money. You're making nice money. Those umpires, Carl, have a nice per diem.
Yes, they do.
But you just let the computer do the work, and you simply go, huh. And if it's a ball, you don't do anything. Pick your nose. It's not that. There'll be a beep, beep for a ball and beep in your ear in real time. That's how it's supposed to work.
So keep the umps out there, even though AI is
right.
Taking over.
AI is going to be in their ear letting them know what it is. Now, probably they'll screw that up. They'll be able to mishear it.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I don't have any issues with this. I don't need the
old argument about, well, you know, everybody loves the human element. Now, talk to Cardinals fans about Don Denkinger and the friggin' human element. Talk to Braves fans about, was it Leon Hernandez in 1997? You know, when they were getting pitches 6 inches off the plate from, he's up in heaven now or maybe someplace else, but Eric Gregg,
yeah.
Who was so incompetent, and Major League Baseball was afraid to fire him for years.
They were. Look, I think we're going to see this incorporation between the umps and the computers.
Mm.
Sounds like Skynet. sooner than later. And when I say that, this is not going to be immediate, guys. They're not going to immediately have umps being taken over by AI. And, you know, you go to the ballpark, there's nobody behind the plate, and it's like, you know, you look up at the big screen, strike. It's not going to happen that way. The inner action between the umps and the computers, Mike, is how this is going to start. I just don't know where it goes, because here's what you're doing, though. You're taking the mistakes completely out of this.
Right.
Right?
And which is, I think, what fans at this point want.
Yes. And so anything, especially when you talk about balls and strikes, the fallibility of the wrong call affecting a game is gone. It's gone. Like that wasn't a strikeout. A guy standing there with the bat on his shoulder looking at the umpire. Those days are that's gone.
Right. Now, I mean, that's the thing. Now we know there is a box. You know, you've seen it on your broadcast, digitized in. You've seen the technology. That's why it's so crazy to see major events, major sporting events, instant replay with the NFL drives me crazy. When we can see in tennis, they can literally have it within 10 seconds, not even less. And know that Cyclops technology, if the ball is in by a hair literally on the tennis ball. You know, but we've been so, you know, for whatever reason, hesitant to do it. Rob Manfred has sped up baseball in so many ways. And look, I don't agree with everything they've done, but I do think speeding the game up is right. This is the next. This, for me, is the final frontier for baseball, because you got players to get their butts in the box. No more scratching your nuts and taking off your wrist. Do your batting gloves three times. Get in the box. Take your three hacks. You got two strikes. You want to take a timeout? Fine. But this is, to me, this is the last thing that has to be fixed. The umpires. So let's do it. Thank you. I'm Mike Bell, and I approve this message. I got time for one more. Hey, one of my favorite follows, and I think she would be one of your favorite follows too. You know that Paige Spiranak, the golfer?
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
I know you know who she is. The incredibly hot blonde golfer. Data, are you familiar with her work?
Describe her.
Well, she's very sexy. She's very curvaceous, and she wears really incredibly hot, tight-fitting outfits and many times sans undergarments when she's hitting golf balls.
I know who you're talking about.
Thank you. If not, Dominic, you familiar with her work?
Very.
That's a 10-4. By the way, Dominic knows who Paige Spiranak. What are you being? You blushing? Is your wife listening? Day-Day's on the computer right now. Check it out.
Can I be honest, though? I've not seen a woman show up at the course like that.
I wish they would.
I'm just saying.
Right. Or even for pickleball.
Okay. You know what?
But next, which is generally adjoining the golf course.
I mean, actually, Paige can actually play.
Yes, she can.
She can play.
So Paige is a hottie patati. She kind of checks all the boxes for our audience because for guys like them, built for comfort, she's got a little bit of something for everybody. But there was a video that dropped earlier last week. There was some confusion as a very sexy blonde wearing like a tank top thing and a golf skirt is chugging a beer while a golf cart's moving at top speed.
Ooh.
And then she steps off and falls down and wipes out. Sunglasses and beer go flying. A lot of people thought it was the aforementioned Miss Spiranak. She assured us it is not by posting a cheeky video and showing, again, an incredibly form-fitting yoga pant, backless golf outfit. No one's ever going to wear this on a golf course.
I'm saying that's what I'm saying.
I mean, they might kick you off a driving range
that's
if you show
my
this.
Point. Nobody shows
you
know, up this
if you
way.
Show up down at, like, you're down at Myrtle Beach, and if you're playing at a putt-putt course, they call the cops on you wearing this outfit.
You can't even get on a Muni dressed that way.
But anyway, I'll post the link for you degenerates out there, and you can check it out at Mike Bell ATL for you guys who love that kind of stuff. Hey, tomorrow, guys, we're at State Farm. Pastor Troy joins Dukes and Bell.
Have you posted it yet?
I'm posting as we speak. Right. Use my fat fingers aloud.
Okay. Hey, man, we got a lot more to dive into. Braves country. Ronald Acuna, Acuna for life, is doing his thing. If you've not voted, by the way, he's going to be an all-star. He's going to be a starter. He's the best outfielder right now in baseball, and he's only played 28 games. We'll dive into that as well as the Falcons, guys, because when we come back, we got to talk about something that you need to know about this Falcon football team. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.